all my electronics here have gone black. Hold on just a second. There we go. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, that's a fairly significant thought that Jesus just gave Nicodemus. And a lot of people say, "Oh no, you know, Nicodemus, he came there by night. He didn't want to be seen during the day talking to Jesus." Well, I don't know that. The scripture doesn't say that. Nicodemus might have had Pharisee duties to do that day. But he came to Jesus. And the interesting thing is, at least to me, is that he came to the source of the authority. He came to the authority to answer his questions. Now, we, in our century, we want people to come to us. We want people to come to the scriptures so that we can show them God's word, God's authority, so that they might be saved and go to heaven. Well, you know, just how important is it? Just how important is it to grab on to the word of God and be saved? Well, we go on. This time, once again, in chapter 3, verse 4. Let me get 3 again so you can remember it. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot," impossibility, "see the kingdom of God." Well, now, Nicodemus is completely, totally confused by this. He's never heard anything like this before. And so he's there right in front of Jesus, and he's paying attention. He's asking the right questions, and yet he still just doesn't get it. And he shouldn't have gotten it because of all the prophecies about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that he would come and would restore the nation of Israel, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. So Nicodemus comes, and he says, "How can a man be born when he's old?" Because Nicodemus probably, you know, fairly old. "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Well, that's completely, totally absurd. Right? No one can get back in their mother's womb and then be born again physically. But Jesus isn't talking about physical stuff. And Nicodemus should have picked up on this. Jesus is talking about spiritual things. And he goes on to say, in verse 5, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Let me give you an example, Nicodemus. Pay attention to this. You know, the wind, it just blows. We don't know where it came from. We don't know where it's going to. It's just a fact of the wind. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We may not know exactly at the point of salvation where God's word is coming from, and we don't know how we're going to be transformed or what we'll be into the future. Nicodemus says, "Well, how can these things be?" Jesus answers, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And Jesus goes on with some Old Testament stuff. "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, that is, the Son of Man. As Moses was lifted," let me give you another example, "as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Now, I'm going to ask you a question right here. Has your mom passed? And what did that feel like? What were your emotions that you were going through? Were you grieving? Did you feel horrible, sad? What about your dad? Same thing. Did you grieve over your dad who has passed? How about a sibling, brother, sister? Did you grieve over that one? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, we did. I don't like it when my siblings die. I don't like it mom and dad passed. But that's life. And what does Hebrews 9:27 say? It is appointed for man to die. And after this, the spiritual realm. In our day and age, people do not pay attention to these thoughts. And that's what's going to cause their death eternally. So, what about Mark 8 and verse 37? Mark 8 and verse 37. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I have a body. And if I were to stop and think about it, that body is going to die. We get that. We understand that. Scripture says that. Experience tells us this. I'm getting closer to that time than when I was 20. Some of you might be getting closer to that time. As a matter of fact, you're getting closer to that time every moment. This even accounts for teens and for young people. Because you might have woken up today, but you do not know if you're going to make it through today. You do not know if you're going to be alive when it's time for you to go to bed. You don't know that today might be the last day on earth, young folks, and that you will not wake up tomorrow morning, at least on earth. So this is a super important thing. You've got a soul, and the soul will be separated from God unless you enter the kingdom of God. And I know that 99.99% of you are in the kingdom of God. But it bears repeating. It bears rethinking. It bears to be able to apply these things to ourselves. So it's super important that we get this information. So it leads us to a question. A couple of different ways you might take this question. Are you buried? Are you saved? Well, most likely there will come a time when we will physically be buried. Our body will be buried. Maybe I was saved. Maybe I wasn't. And if that's the case, once again, I'm going to lose my soul to the one below. People in their right logical mind, if we can separate them from the world's goodies, for even just a little while, are capable of learning and knowing and understanding this very simple fact. My time on earth is but a span. It's very short. I never even thought about getting to 72 years of age. Next month I'll be 72. I never even thought about getting to 71. But here I am. And I've collected chronic diseases along the way. That's what older people do. I've got them. You will have them. If you don't have them now, you will have them. And it might be the very cause of your passing. I don't know that. I can't say that for sure, because I don't know that. But on the other hand, all things considered, as economists like to say, we are indeed going to pass. And we're getting closer to that moment every day. Now, we had a song this morning, and I invite you to turn to 105. And just listen to the verses itself. I am thine, O Lord God of heaven. I have heard thy voice in the pages of Scripture, and it told of your love to me. Jesus died for you. If you were the only person on the planet, God would have planned for Jesus to die for you.
But this person says, I so long. I am just so ready. I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. Set me apart so that I can be useful to you. By the power of grace divine, let my soul look up with the steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. Some of you are going to be ill and you're going to pass. And you, a fellow who had skin cancer, it's pretty much all over his body. Before he passed, he was in the hospital bed. And he was a Christian, by the way. And I went to visit him. And he looked terrified. You could see it in his eyes. He wasn't ready to go. He didn't like the thought of not living anymore on this earth. But that's really not the point at all, because our passing is just a passageway to the life of eternity. And so we read on. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend to be with Jesus, to be with God. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. That's certainly the case for everyone who is a sincere Christian in the kingdom of God. There are depths of love, Jesus, that I cannot know till I cross that narrow sea that is death in passing. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Rest in peace with thee. The idea of paradise, according to Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. The scripture is not really clear for me to say certain things, but from what I understand, even in paradise, you will have some connection to Jesus. I don't know if you'll see him. I don't know if you'll have some interaction with him. I just don't know that. But I do know from what the scriptures teach that paradise, the place of our death, the place of our soul, if you're a Christian, will be a very blessed place to be living. Just how important is it? I've got to ask the question. When you were baptized, did you just get wet? Or were you truly saved? When you were baptized, did you just get yourself covered up with water? Or were you baptized for the trust and faith that you have in God Almighty, in Jesus Christ, to save your soul, to get you to paradise, and ultimately to heaven? Because if you were just had water over the top of your head, that's not a deal. It's almost as good as not being baptized, because it doesn't mean anything. But if you enter the waters of baptism, and you are under that water, you rise up from baptism just as Christ was raised from the dead. What Jesus experienced and what you experience in baptism, you share. You share the exact same thing. And when Jesus said, this is the fruit of the vine, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, and I will not drink it anymore with you, because Jesus was going to die the next day, I will not drink it anymore with you until the kingdom. Well, it's very interesting thinking, because, well, what does that mean? A lot of people have had that question. Well, what is Jesus talking about? Is he somehow going to share his blood or the fruit of the vine when we take the Lord's Supper down here on earth? Does he have that physical material up there in heaven? Well, no, he doesn't. But when Jesus arose and he gave instructions to the apostles, and the apostles began preaching, Acts chapter 2. And in verse 38, repent, all of you repent, and each of you be baptized for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the beginning of the church. It was the beginning of the true spiritual kingdom of God. Matthew 7, verse 21. Many will say to me in that day, didn't I do this and didn't I do that and didn't I do this and didn't I do that? Unless you do the will of God, you will not exist in the kingdom of God. Well, if that's the case, think about it. What's the other choice? What's the other side of that? I will exist in the kingdom of the devil. And that's not a happy place to be at all. So we want to make sure that when we are born again, just as Jesus has said, that we surely become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Not a restored one, not a rebuilt one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new creation. You're still a human being, but now you are a spirit in God's kingdom. You are a spirit in God's church. How about overcoming that new life or becoming that new Christian? You get all the blessings of God. I can talk to Him anytime that I want to. If I mess up in my life, I can repent, and He loves me enough, and He's just enough to forgive me of me messing up. I can forget every sin that I have ever committed. Now, we know what a sin is. It's missing the mark of God. So we know the technical definition of sin, but what we don't think about is all the misery that sin brings. Your life can go downhill. You can get to the point where you wish that you were dead. And some people take their lives because they live in such abject misery. We must think about these things in order to make our life sure in Jesus Christ. And there are other blessings. How about God's providence daily? How about God's watching over us and protection? How about God's walking with us when we are on the road to heaven? There are just many, many blessings of being a Christian in this life right now. But then Jesus says, how about the kingdom? John 3, 3 through 5. We've read that. What if I missed it? What if I don't make it there? How great will that loss be? Whatever you think is most important on this earth, it's not as important as having your soul prepared for heaven. You may go through a lot of garbage. Your life may be horrible at times. You may feel absolutely blessed at times. But unless you're giving your soul over to God, unless you're submitting in truth and in faith, you're just not making it. And that's something to make sure about of our own lives. What about 1 John 5 and verse 4? Let's take a look at that. 1 John 5 and verse 4. All the way to the end of the book. And verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is that? Our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Are you still carrying guilt for sin? I know a very sweet woman who felt guilty all the time. Christian woman. She felt guilty. You could see it in her face and on her shoulders. She was just feeling horrible about herself. And I tried to talk to her and say, no, all that stuff is gone. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not being abused. You're being loved. And you're getting everything that you need to get from God and from her family. Sometimes I wonder if she ever got through all of that. In our day and age, it may be that we have committed some horrible sin last week. This is the beginning of the week. I had all the way from Sunday through Saturday And did I sin? Well, sure I did. But the love of God covers me. The love of Jesus covers me. The blood of Jesus covers me as I repent and go to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. But that's what we need. We need to understand about overcoming the world, which means if there's a beautiful human being, it's not wrong to know and to see, even appreciate the beauty of a human being. After all, God made all of us. And God's creation is always right. Well, wait a minute. I've got a child that has medical issues. I've got a child that was born with some sort of mental deficit. What do you mean that God has created everything perfectly? Well, the truth of the matter is that child will be loved. And you will do the very best that you can to help that child through life. And you will also help that child to be the person that Jesus would want them to be. So even though there might be alcohol out in the world, and even a lot of it, even though there might be drugs and addictions and all those kinds of things, and I hate it, I absolutely hate it, that many states are legalizing marijuana. That is a bad, bad, bad substance. We don't want that in our families. And you don't want that for yourself. And even though our spouse may have committed adultery, or maybe we ourselves have committed adultery, and we carry around the weight of all of these things, being baptized into the kingdom of God relieves your guilt. You are prepared to go to heaven, to be in heaven, because of your faith and stance in the faith, and that before Jesus. That before Jesus. The world. You will overcome the world. It won't be easy, because there are some things that pull us toward the world. Our own lusts, our own desires, even our own minds. We battle ourselves. And sometimes I wonder, when it says that God, Jesus, came to this world to save sinners, I also wonder if He's saving me from myself. Get that? Understand that? Because I can be an absolute idiot at times. And I freely admit that. I say or do the wrong things quite often. But in Jesus Christ, we always come back to Him. We always live with Him and complete His will. Matthew 7:21. So that we are prepared to enter heaven. Now let me tell you this one statement. Jesus did not come to make your life better. You a fellow who bought a rather expensive house. And he made it to closing. They were about to sign the papers. And he said, I don't have anything for a down payment on this house. And I asked, what are you doing here? He said, well, I kept praying to God and I thought for sure He would send money my way so that I could buy this house. Well, you know, that's rather foolish, right? So, he lost out. Even though he had his faith in Jesus for that, it's not about making your life better. He came to give you a brand new, exciting life in Jesus Christ. What about the prodigal son? Luke chapter 15. He was far away from dad, far away from his family. He was living in filth and garbage. He had his nose in the mud. And he came to his senses. He says, this is absurd that I'm living like this. Even the servants in my house, in my father's household has food to eat. And she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to beg for forgiveness. And maybe he'll just hire me as a servant in his house. And as he got nearer, the dad saw his son. He didn't wait on his son, did he? He ran to meet him, to bring him back into the family. Well, isn't that what Jesus did? When Jesus saw our deepest need, didn't he run to save us by coming to this earth? I believe that he did, and hopefully you can see that as well. So listen to this one story. Father stood beside the hospital bed of his grown son. Years of poor choices had separated them. The son had drifted far from God, far from his family, and far from the life his parents had hoped for him. The son struggled to breathe. He looked at his father and whispered, "Dad, if I could do it all over again, I would." The father squeezed his hand and said, "Son, that's the only one thing none of us can do." A few minutes later, the son was gone. Father later said those words that haunted him, "If I could do it all over again." The tragedy is that many people spend their lives wishing for another chance, wishing for another opportunity, another beginning, another opportunity to erase the past. That is exactly why Jesus spoke of being born again. You cannot live yesterday over. You cannot undo your sins. You cannot rewrite your failures. But through Christ, you can start again. The old life can die. A new life can begin. The saddest words a person can say are, "I wish I had another chance." The most beautiful words a person can hear are, "You must be born again." In just a moment, we're going to sing that invitation song. I hope that you indeed consider all of these things that we're talking about.